Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining a community of poets, of writers, of lovers of the spoken word. Welcome home. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the June 12th, 2020 edition. Sitting across from me is my virtual co-host. No, he is actually the co-host, not a virtual co-host, but we're sitting across from each other virtually. Let's not make this too complicated. Mr. JT, how are you, sir? Good evening.
I'm well. Good evening. You?
So what's new in your world?
More patients are coming into the hospital.
Then causing you to have to exert more patience.
Exactly.
It's a recursive scenario.
It is.
That's absolutely what I like to hear is that you're having to be caught in more recursive scenarios. So when you said more patients, they're just starting to pick up more of the procedures that they were supposed to be doing before.
Yeah, we're increasing our volume for surgery procedures. And then,
so for anybody who's listening who does not have context, because JT just launched into everybody understands his context.
Do.
He works at the VA
yes.
in Denver, Colorado.
Yes.
And so they've been really, with the whole kind of COVID quarantine, they've been really keeping a lot of things from moving. And now they're just starting to come back in.
Yes.
You've been out of school for how many weeks now?
1 month, so about 4 weeks.
All right. For about 4 weeks. You've been out of school for 4 weeks. You have, while we've been on the show, you have gone to school. You have earned a degree.
Yes.
Once again,
thank you.
Great accomplishment. I hope you're enjoying your month off. And now we're getting to work.
Oh, yes.
You're going back for master's.
Wait, what? I am? Okay.
I know you how ready you were to be done. That's for sure. Yeah. Now, have you been doing any... Let me ask you this. I know we've been working on some things. We got some new stuff going on. Hmm. Has the haiku master been feeling any haiku recently?
Recently, yes. They're kind of churning right now in my head. So they'll be on the out here shortly.
You got to remember, we have a goal.
We do.
A new haiku master book.
Yes.
Now we already have a haiku master book.
Yes.
Now what is that? What's the title of the book again? Do you remember? It is
the haiku, haiku master tales from the haiku master himself.
No. It's the actual title is a haiku.
Yes.
I'll look it up for later. Yes. I'll look it up for later. I think it's like a collection from the master himself, Enjoy, or something like that.
Oh, yes, that's right. It had the word Enjoy.
So it's been a while since we put this out. This is why we got to get on top of this, JT.
Yes, sir.
We got to get on top of this. All right. So you and I have talked. I know you're doing pretty well, except for being randomly exposed to COVID, and hopefully you're okay.
Yeah.
You know, I started playing again this last week. And I got to tell you, it is really nice to take music away from being something I was just doing alone in a room
by myself for months to actually being back with people again. And strangely enough, it got me thinking about Studio X. And then we realized the right way to do Studio X was far simpler than we were making it. And so yes, we're going to try that tonight. We're going to do some Studio X, first time in a while. And hopefully it works out. I also think this is a really opportune time to do so. Really happy everybody who's joined us is joining us this evening. We see some familiar names and people we always love to connect with in the chat room as well. So I think, unless JT, you have something else to add, we should start to get into the whole process.
Works for me.
Think we're good? Okay, cool. By the way, I want to throw out that the whole thing we wanted to do about the COVID work and do an anthology for it to raise money. We haven't received enough poetry, so we haven't moved forward with it until we get enough poetry. We can't really put out a book that's 10 pages long or 20 pages long. It just doesn't work. So if you have anything you want to contribute, great. Send it worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Indicate that it's for that particular anthology. If we don't get enough, it's okay. We just won't do it. But we thought we would give it a shot. All right. So tonight we are going to have the next three clues for this month's mysterious poet of the month. We will also have Studio X, as I said, and JT and I will have a 30-second rage fest that the treasure that we had wanted to look for based on a poem has been found. So I hope you enjoy that. Yeah, do it again. That's the sound my heart made when I read the headline. But we'll talk about it a little bit later, and we'll tell you kind of what the whole story behind that was in case you don't know. We're looking for a new adventure. JT thinks we should go to the loneliest highway in the world. I think looking for a treasure is slightly more cool than just going to an open, lonely stretch of land that no one wants to be on.
You never know what we might find.
I'm totally going to go with you. I'm totally down. I'm bringing my fencing sword and a guitar in case we have to pull a whole, Tenacious D and tribute thing.
And pirates.
And if there's a crossroad,
that's right,
I'll have a guitar.
Okay, good.
Maybe that's something you don't. Maybe I don't want to do that, actually. Okay. anyway, so we'll do that. But we need a new adventure. We need a real world adventure.
Yes.
We're looking for it. We're going to go for it. All right. Beautiful. So before we get into anything else, let's go into the rules for the show. Rule number one, no hate speech. We've never done that on this show. We never will do that on this show. And that means literally no hate speech. There's a lot of problems with that these days. There's a lot of problems with people questioning all kinds of things. No, this is a place where this stuff does not fly. I'm sorry. It does not fly here.
Right.
I don't care where you're coming from with it. It just doesn't happen. Rule number two, please try to keep your work PG-13 or less so we can have younger people listen to the show, families. We want to encourage them to listen and to fall in love with poetry. And if we keep kind of crossing the boundary of what's appropriate for them, we lose that opportunity. So we ask you to consider that when you're selecting your work for this. Now, if it's art, we may not jump right in. But if it gets just a little bit too gratuitous, we're not like not calling you art if it gets too much, but we do reserve the right to jump in and kind of say, hey, maybe this isn't the right forum for this. Next one, please, when we come on the line, have your poem ready. We understand sometimes screens turn off, whatever, that's different, but just make sure you're ready to go. You're not looking for a poem when we come on the line. Next one, rule number, what is it, five now? Please keep your poetry no longer than 3 to 5 minutes long. Just a respect thing for the other poets here. Really just think of this as like a forum, but we're in real time, okay? And the second to last rule, this is an old rule we've had before. We brought it back again just because we were receiving some complaints about it. And it's just something that we want to make sure that we make a really friendly, we want to make this friendly place for everyone. So, please, no promotions on the show. This isn't an advertising platform. It's a platform for your work. If you're doing a really cool thing and you want to mention one thing you're doing, You can do it quickly, but this is not a place to advertise everybody else. And the last rule is we love your comments. We love your suggestions. And we really do want to hear them. But when we're doing the show, we're doing a lot of stuff. And it's hard for us to remember. So if you can send them to send your comments and suggestions to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or in the contact form on worldpoetryopenmic.net, then we're actually able to look at it, discuss it during our meetings when we're not doing the show. And a lot of things have actually been put in place because of such emails. All right. I think I covered all the rules there. It seems like there's a lot, doesn't it, JT?
Yeah.
But they're linchpin rules. They're not rules that are made.
No.
Every one of these rules has been made because of a specific line of problems that we've seen over a long period of time.
True.
So none of these have been just gratuitously put together. So, yeah, I feel okay about that. Just seems like it takes a while. I haven't timed myself and how long it takes me to explain them, but feels like longer and longer. All right. So we're getting ready to go into our first segment. We need five unique callers. The number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
Wah! And here we are, here for the first segment.
Yes.
The only first segment that we're going to have on the 12th of June, 2020. There's no redos, JT.
That's very true.
This is not a rehearsal.
No, this is live.
Because if we had a rehearsal, it would probably sound a whole lot better. But it sounds like what we do here.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question for you.
Yes, sir.
JT, I'm supposed to unveil some clues here. Does this happen at the end of this segment? I just don't have the map in front of me anymore, and I just forgot.
Do I need to send you the map? I can send you the
map. Yes, that's why we do it every week, except when you just decided to stop doing it.
Yes, all because right. That was all me. You should have an
idea. No, I need help remembering things. We know this.
I know. You got to open up your IM from Google.
I open it. It's right here.
Okay.
Now I see it. Thank you for that.
Does that help?
See, that's better. Oh, yeah. Color-coded and everything. All right.
Just like Sorry, you had were to hear here. That
family squabble, everybody. All right. So here we are. Now we've got some awesome poets here. I was actually looking at the lineup. I'm really excited about it. I want to start off with a submission that we've had. We've had several wonderful submissions over the week. So I'm looking forward to getting to all of them. This is from, of course, a favorite of ours and a great friend of the show, Natalia Govsha. This is called I Am. I am a stranger. Stranger, enchanted, my palace, my mythical Parnassus, collapsed. I'm wandering. I'm a finder, a gentle reminder of an unforgettable past. Surrounded by 17 gods, virtues and sins, inside the labyrinth of my soul, the spirit pristine like a spark glints. Who am I? I'm the dust of the earth and the light of the sky. I'm a goblet and I am a wine. I drink myself, eat myself, and to myself I am the road divine. Where I try to find him who created the world in one word. I pray he'll create my palace again. And that was I Am from Natalia Govsha. Natalia, wonderful work. Thank you so much for submitting. If you want to submit your work like Natalia, you can by going to worldpoetryopenmic.net, putting it in the contact form, indicate that it's for the show, or indicate the same thing if you send it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, and we'll be happy to read it for you on the show. All right. Now, moving on from that, let me jump to my list here, JT. All right. Now we're going to fly. If you have ears the size of mine, you think of your ears as a flying apparatus. You fly through the air. We're going to go to the carpal tunnel of the Mitten State and visit George in our number one spot here. Hello, George. Good evening.
Hello, hello.
Hello, how are you?
It's Friday night.
It is.
And things are just really nice. Cool, sunny air. Lots of flowers just blasting out of their stems. Mm-hmm. And what else can I say?
Well, I'm glad you're getting to enjoy it in Michigan, and you're not having to fly back and forth from the capital as you usually do.
No. Yeah, he wants me to come out to Tulsa, I guess, next week or whatever it is. But that's not even funny, is it?
It's not your fault, George. Like, that should be funny, but it's just not. It's just exasperating. Is what it is.
That is an accident waiting to happen if I ever saw one.
I don't think it's an accident. I think it's entirely a choice. I think that's entirely a choice.
We have a cynical. We're a cynical world these days. If that's a choice, because. Yep. The worst massacre in on that nature in our history in 1921. And, you know, God, oh, well, maybe COVID will join them out there. Yeah. I'm not going to get morose here. I'm going to go to a little poem I wrote a couple days ago when I had a storm. We had a storm here. And I wrote sort of a lighthearted, nitwitted thing called Loving My Storms. The wicked way the branches lean, the tousled trees and wind between, the loosened leaves that leave the scene. I think I love this storm so mean. It overturned the wheelbarrow fast. It dumped a plant as the wind passed. Reminded me of storms long past. I think I want this storm to last. The clouds did spin and wrestle round. They gladly let the lightning ground. Without a doubt, there was great sound. With glee, I'm glad I was around. End of peace.
You know, George, what I really liked about that is, and I understand the context as well, but I think it stands on its own. I enjoy the openness to still find positivity in. We call them simple things, but they're not really simple things. But just things that are really pleasant and kind of beautiful around us. And I think the ability to do that is actually really kind of powerful when we're inundated with so much negativity.
Well, yes, it's a little escape valve. I think it's another way to put it. And and it's so far away from the realities we were just talking about before. You know, it's like a different universe. And hopefully these disparate universes can both stay alive. Because one could destroy the other if we're not careful. I love storms anyway. I was always like storms. And,
me too.
So,
me too. Yep. It's always storms are always the just such a beautiful thing in.
And it's sort of one of those things man cannot tear asunder. No matter how hard we try, we haven't stopped the damn things, and I hope we never do.
Well, and I kind of feel like.
I'm not talking about horrendous death
obviously, machines, But, well, you know, we had something in Colorado.
Storms rain. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, we had something in Colorado the day after our last show, where suddenly in the afternoon, we had, I mean, JT, what was it around where you were? It was just a sudden burst of.
Yeah, just this big, huge burst of wind.
Wasn't it like 70 something up by you, 70 some miles an hour?
At least that,
more. In a place that I had been earlier last Friday was like 106 to 110 miles an hour. Just came out of nowhere, lasted for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it happened over something like 65 to 70 miles all at once. And
There's a meteorological name for that, but I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, it's
very rare, though.
It is really rare. But at any rate,
you have to scare the pants off. Yeah, you're driving along.
Oh man,
you know,
wouldn't it? I mean, I think the thing that I was kind of equating, that was thinking about that, and kind of looking at where we are in our culture. It's hard to not look at storms and think that metaphorically we're really going through some stuff now. But I'm waiting for the clear after it's over, when the storm breaks, you know, and I hope it does.
It's very true. That was one of the sort of one of the themes in my brain all week when I was watching the funeral and all the rest. And at the same time, I was doing all this gardening and having these storms and then reading poetry. And I thought, well, this, you know, there's somewhere there's going to be a break in the sky. And I hope it's not too far from now.
Well, and there are still babies being born. There's still people falling in love. There's still poetry being written. There's still great songs being written and recorded.
Really?
I think we're going to get through it.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll step aside
and
be back for the return engagement.
All right. We will see you then. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And bye. That was George calling from Michigan, the number one spot in our first segment this evening. All right. We ready, JT? All right, now we're going to head to upstate New York. We're going to visit with a great friend of ours, Zach. Hello, Zach. How are you?
Hello, my friends. Happy Friday. How are you guys?
We're good.
We're doing really, really well. How was the first week of your new year of life?
Good. I reached another milestone. I have officially published 201 poems because... The poem I'm going to read tonight is actually a poem I wrote an hour ago, so fresh, hot off the presses. This is my 201st poem being published, and 42,000 views from all over the world, and a lot of people listening because of you guys.
Isn't that fantastic? I'm so, so happy to hear that, and... you know, I remember not long ago, maybe it was last year or something like that, kind of pushing you to say, like, to look at, oh, you could do 50,000 views, you could do whatever. And you kind of thought I was crazy. And now that it's coming faster and faster and faster, I think you're able to see that, you know, people really do appreciate what you put out.
Absolutely. And, you know, it makes me feel good, and it makes me feel... like, you know, that it really, it can make a difference, even in, like, a small town. And, you know, and so the library, we just got into phase 3 today. So, you know, that's really cool because the libraries are going to start opening back up. And so I can finally finish my book, and then I'll be able to get out there and help people.
That's fantastic. It really is. And we're really happy for you, my friend. So what about this evening, though? What do you have for us?
Like I said, it's hot off the presses, and it's one of those ones that just came to me. It's something that is, like, you know, just appreciation. That's something I think we need right now, is appreciation for people. And so this poem is called When I Get Older. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your guiding light. Thank you for being someone I could talk to when I couldn't sleep at night. Thank you for making me smile. Thank you for letting me cry on your shoulder. And know I'll do the same for you when I get older. End of piece.
That's nice. Yeah, it's always really encouraging. I mean, Dennis said that you're Mr. Encouragement, but I think that's a big piece of what you do, is you're trying to let people know that it's okay and that they're okay, and that we can do things, you know, we can rise above sometimes our own insecurities or things that we're concerned about in our lives. I think that's valuable. JT, what did you think, my friend? I feel like I'm talking too much.
No, you're fine. I enjoyed it very much. Well done, Zach. I like the...
I can see that his poems resonate with you. I really can. And so, I mean, because I have a visual here, Zach, obviously, so it makes a difference. Thank you very much for that, sir. And are you going to be around for the return?
You guys, absolutely. I mean, you know, the first return of the Studio X, I can't miss that.
Hey, well, I hope I don't let people down. What if I suck?
Oh, you know, that's the thing. That's the thing about being live. That's the risk of being live.
Oh, that's true. But you know, I should rephrase that. What if JT turns up the suck button? So it's not my fault, it's his fault.
Well, then you'll be able to share you'll be able to play the blame game, and you'll figure it out eventually.
There we go. Yeah, yeah. Blame games don't go anywhere, especially when you want to keep a radio show partnership, or probably any partnership, going for a long period of time.
Very
it's just
true.
Good to drop the blame game entirely, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, some things got to stay in tradition. I mean, my parents have been married for 28 years, and they still play the blame game just to keep interesting on each other.
Well,
okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. My parents have been at 42 years now. 42 years. And that's so daunting of a number. Awesome. Wow. Incredible. But who knows? I think different people do things different ways. But as long as it works, that's right. What matters.
Absolutely. And I will let the next poet step up, and I will talk to you guys in the return engagement.
Sounds good.
We will talk to you then, sir. Sorry, JT.
It's okay.
It's hard. It's hard sitting in a different room. I got to be honest.
I understand. I totally get that.
We're working it out, though. Eventually, we'll be back in the same studio, and I'll have to rebuild my immunity to my cat allergy stuff all over again.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I could harness a beehive inside the house so that...
Just pollen.
Yeah.
Just straight up pollen.
Well,
but then I walk in and get stung by... We're just doing shows covered in bees.
Covered in bees.
This is what would happen. You start raising bees and you're... It's a horrible idea, JT.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's do it. We wanted an adventure. Let's raise bees in your basement. See what happens.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds horrible. Anyway, let's go now to the scariest state in the union, the place where they don't need pens because they got their own type of writing utensils. Let's go to Jim in Pennsylvania. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
And when he does that, you can tell, you know, that he's writing. And when he writes with a number two pencil.
Oh.
JT is just really disgusted with me right now, Jim. How are you?
Doing okay, I think. Yeah. That's well, I gave up thinking. People told me to stop because they were tired of the smoke.
Yeah, I sometimes when I start thinking, I sound like an old car trying to start. It's like, Michael, just stop it. Just stop it.
Oh, for the love of Pete, please just stop, laddie. We can't take much more.
Stop trying to think. There's other people who can do that for you. So how's everything where you are right now? I mean, how is are you in the part of where you're rolling out after the quarantine? Are people getting more and more active?
Yeah, roads are getting back to normal. Hospital capacity is normal again. Like the main hospital was 92 today, and I think the children's was like 72.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
We're still in the red, though.
Yeah.
Because we had 23 COVID patients, and I think 4 under investigation.
Wow. Okay. Well, I hope the numbers continue to go back down, and then return to a normal pattern.
Well, it kind of fluctuates. You know, it's like it's been lower some days and picks up.
Did yours pick up on Thursday and Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because okay. like it was like 23 today. I think earlier in the week we were like 19.
Yeah. Okay. It's a pattern I've noticed at ours too.
So, Jim, what do you have for us this evening?
Well, it's from my soon to be coming new book.
Okay.
Extravagant Way of Saying Nothing. And this piece is called Honey Sweet, and it's based on a story from Welcome to the Monkey House, or was inspired by it. Honey Sweet. Her honey is so very sweet, but who will taste it with what the age demands? Her blessing of beauty, a curse, and the ordinary extolled as a higher virtue. End of poem.
It's always such an interesting idea. I really enjoyed that piece, first of all, but you got me thinking about someone's beauty being extolled as a higher virtue. And I think that does happen.
Well, have you guys, the particular story that inspired it, it was this, these dancers, ballet dancers, and the two best in the group had to wear hard masks and were weighed down with weights, while the other ones that weren't as graceful didn't have any impediments.
How strange.
Yeah, it's they eventually got tired of it, and they took off their mask and, you know, got rid of all the weights. And as a result, the two of them end up getting killed on stage because they decided, you know, to break free from what was being forced on them.
Yeah.
And
where was this that this happened?
It was in one of the stories from Welcome to the Monkey House by Kurt Vonnegut.
That's incredible. I completely forgot that.
I remember reading it in high school.
Yeah, in high school, the best they tried to get us to do was read Mark Twain, which I'd already done. So, you know, they never touched Vonnegut, oddly enough.
Yeah, I never read Twain in school or had to read Twain in school. I read some of the others.
Sure.
Steinbeck. Mm-hmm. The one about something at Owl Creek where a guy was being hung and then you know, go through the circumstances that the ropes break and he's escaping. And then he ends up, right. There was all a dream because it ends with him being hung.
I vaguely remember that one.
He was there for an execution.
Yeah.
For his execution.
And then I remember one story back from like freshman year called The Most Dangerous Game. Do you remember that one?
That I've never heard of.
Oh really? You should look that one up. It's very, very much a freshman in high school kind of story, but it's still fun. All right, Jim. Hey, are you going to be able to stick around for the return?
Yeah.
Fantastic. That's we're looking forward to that. So, so let's do that. We'll just see you in the return engagement then.
Yep.
All right. Appreciate you, sir. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you.
All right, and that was Jim calling from the scariest state in the Union. Oh, Pennsylvania.
It's really cool when your voice digitizes, especially when you howl.
On purpose. That belies my, so I don't know. Something that you should really know about my ancestry is I'm part Italian.
Yes.
Part Irish. Part Decepticon. So that's usually where that comes from.
Yeah. Okay, it totally makes sense now. I mean, I figured it
made a lot of sense. Yeah. Wow. Speaking of Decepticons. No, I'm kidding. Let's travel from Pennsylvania. Let's go to Connecticut and let's bring on Barbara.
Pennsylvania. Let's go to Connecticut and let's bring on Barbara.
Hello, Barbara.
Hello, Michael. How are you? Oh.
Doing very well. How are you?
I'm good. I missed last week, but it's
we
okay.
missed you.
My daughters asked me to stay with them, so I did. When they ask, I stay. So,
fair enough.
I'm good. I was actually judging a haiku contest this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll tell you more about it after the poem. I don't know if you're going to want to talk about it, but I was one of three other judges. We were judging a local haiku contest about the people had to write haikus about being, you know, during the COVID virus and being quarantined or whatever, what it was like. And so we all had to judge it.
Well, that's cool.
And
that
I and another woman have our choices, but two other people don't. So we all have to come to some decision. So it's going to be interesting because the other woman and I don't have the same choices. So only one is the same, and that I'll tell you about after the poem, okay? Because it's too complicated to talk about. Now, so this is a poem that I wrote for the Garden of Poetry and Prose, and it is based on a Martin Luther King quote, and the quote is, where is it? Oh, goodness. I thought we had the quote. Oh, dear. I don't seem to have a quote here. Yeah, the quote is here. I have it. I know I have it. So the quote, actually, you should know the quote before you hear the poem, so that's why you should hear the quote. The quote is, okay, waiting for the computer. All right. The moral arc of the universe bends at the elbow of justice. And Martin Luther King, he said that. And so here goes. My poem is called A Tapestry of Hatred, Built by Injustice and Lacking in Compassion. And the two prompts were injustice and compassion. So here goes. My eyes have been shut to what has been happening to my brethren. For years they have suffered injustice while they tried to live their lives. Being born another color than the majority of the population turned out to be a curse for their lifetime. Being their color was dangerous, and too many people in power decided if they were not the majority of color, their fate would be to worry each day for their lives. And it continued as more killings piled up. Young men and boys had to fear for their existence, even when doing the most normal things, walking or running or playing in the park or standing in the wrong place. Shot and murdered for their color on city streets, no matter the age, this became the nightmare each family lived through and handed down to their children, the rules to behave to escape arrest and maybe getting shot. Living with this injustice became the norm for many people, but to the rest of the majority, it was not clear how much danger they encountered, even as children were being shot continually for no reason, and men were beaten by police over and over again just for being their color. Yet these police evaded conviction for their heinous behavior. Still, we really didn't see the constant danger or the complete injustice, as the discrimination based on skin color was woven into our society until we could no longer see it and became a tapestry of despair. Our country accepted there was no way to fight this, although there were local protests and calls for police arrests, until an event so brutal and heinous sprang open the eyes of an entire nation and galvanized it to protest against the insidious violence that had crept up on our society and lived in the hands and knees of police. They thought they could take an innocent man and destroy him without benefit of law. Was it moral to strangle a man with your knee as your fellow officers looked on his silence? Martin Luther King's moral arc was broken that day. In the severing of the elbow of justice, a new awareness awoke the rest of the country. To watch that scene and not have compassion for the man who was slowly being tortured is not to be a human being. What has been awakened by the mass protests is a call for humanity, for all people, no matter the color of their skin, to see what has been invisible for so long, to see the constant struggles so many people have had just to live due to the color of their skin. Now we know the true meaning of Black Lives Matter. For although we can agree all lives matter, black people have not had their lives matter to the elbow of justice. And it is time for the police to see their insensitive and criminal behavior to their fellow human beings. People went out on the streets to protest the inhuman treatment of black men and boys. The people's compassion spilled everywhere, and the power of their conviction spread into many parts of society that did not realize they too had been practicing similar, though not as violent, instances of making black people feel like others. Inside of us all, regardless of our skin color, are the same heart, muscles, brain, and soul. It is time that we as a country realize we have discounted the insides of so many for so long. And now it is time for these humans to be treated by all as humans. We must keep the elbow of justice from breaking as we pick up the pieces of the torn tapestry. End poem.
Very, very powerfully written. Great job, Barbara.
Thank you. Thank you. That poem kind of gets me. It's very emotional at the end.
Yeah. I totally get that.
I just couldn't believe what was coming out of my hands as I wrote it. You know, it's like, boom, 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 boom. Oh, this is coming out of me. Oh, God.
Well, it was all because of that Martin Luther King
quote. That's so cool, the elbow of justice. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, I was talking about the haiku contest and about the fact that I almost got into a big argument with somebody over haiku.
It happens all the time on this show, Barbara.
What?
It happens all the time on this show. JT and I get in arguments over his haiku, and then he ends up kind of like beating me up, and then I eventually agree it's okay.
So the thing that was the sticking point here was the syllabication of struggling, okay? I always say struggling, but when I looked it up, and so I just counted a poem that I really loved because it had that word in it and too many syllables because of that word. So I thought, nope, 8 syllables, can't do it. So I just counted it. My friend made it her number 1, and I said, oh, that can't be happening because that's 8 syllables. She said, no. She said, it's 7. And I said, oh. She said, I counted it. It's 7. So I said, okay. I went back and I looked on Google. And sure enough, that word is 2 syllables, making the poem with that word, with that thing in it, 7 syllables. And I feel compelled to read you this 3-line poem because JT will like it. It's called, it has a title, but I won't give you the title. My daughter, the nurse, can't save those struggling to breathe, comes home terrified.
What do you think, Haiku Master?
I like it.
That's the number one.
Does it get your stamp of approval?
Yeah, you like it? You like it? You think it's a first prize?
Well, it gets my stamp of approval. I don't know if it would get first prize.
Good.
I mean, but it's good.
The Haiku Master stamp of approval is the equivalent of a blue ribbon anywhere else in the world, Barbara.
I think so. I think so. These were very hard to judge, you know? They were very hard to judge. That was like both, at least both my friends and I are now on the same page with the first. We don't have the same second or third, but, you know, what can I say?
Yeah, fair enough.
We're all going to have to duke it out when the other two people give us their choices. I hope they also have chosen that one.
Barbara, thank you so much. And are you around
welcome.
For the return?
You're welcome. Yeah, I will. I'll be back.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay.
Looking forward to
it. Take care.
Again. All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut, laying it down, picking it up, kicking it in the air, and smacking it back down.
Thank you,
all
Michael.
Right. You're welcome for
I
that.
I appreciate it.
It was buying you time.
It did, and he's there. He's ready.
All right. Let's do it. So our next caller is from Michigan, Dennis. Hello, Dennis. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. Here I am. It's Friday night.
All right. We're excited to have you, my friend. How's everything where you are?
Yeah, things are slowly coming, get restarting, and it's exciting. We'll see how it goes.
Perfect. That's all we can do, I think, at this point, is just see how things go. How about this? I'm going to give you the stage. We'll talk after, okay?
All right. The poem I'm reading tonight, I've read before, but I think it'd be a good one to repeat right now. There are a lot of things going on in this world, in our nation and the world, and we need a reminder that there is always hope. So the title of this poem is Cities, People, and Hope, and it's written as a pantoum. Big cities, though troubled, offer hope. On the darkest night, any light is bright. The city is not crime statistics, but people. Good people make all the difference. On the darkest night, any light is bright. Seek that which is best for all. Good people make all the difference. Stand for right both day and night. Seek that which is best for all. Sometimes perceptions are clouded by fear. Stand for right, both day and night. Where good hearts live, all is not lost. Sometimes perceptions are clouded by fear. The city is not crime statistics, but people. Where good hearts live, all is not lost. Big cities, though troubled, offer hope. End of poem.
Really, really appropriate for what's going on right now. And I really felt that one, Dennis. There's so much that just feels wrong in the world. And we've got to remember, and we've got to remind ourselves of the good things and the good people around us too. There's a lot of good. It's just hard to feel sometimes.
There's a lot of good, and we need to seek the good.
Yes,
there's a lot that's been swept under the social carpet that's coming to light even more now. And That's what it needs. It's, the light needs to shine in the darkness so we can eradicate the darkness. And so we can move on to a brighter future.
I couldn't agree more. And I really kind of feel aligned with the message in the piece that you read. So thank you, Dennis, again.
You're quite welcome, and I was glad I was able to share that. So I'm going to step aside because we need to get another round going, round two.
That's right.
And I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless, Dennis. Thank you. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, rounding out our first segment here for the evening. That was a pretty solid first segment, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, almost rounding off the full segment.
Well, as far as the poetry, but not for the clues for our mysterious poet of the month. Now, I will say this, and I'm not going to name names, but the identity has been guessed.
What? Already?
Already. In fact, we've had multiple people get the right name.
Oh, good.
But I'm not going to say who it is yet.
Okay.
I'm going to give the clues because later. It's still fun.
Yes.
It's still fun.
Yes.
So here we go. Last week, these were our clues. This is a clue number one from last week. Quadragenial tenure in Columbia past. Clue number two for last week. In 1940, the Pulitzer rang. And clue number three from last week. Lincoln in the last days. This week, clue number one is a family of letters. Clue number two, observed in a Kubrickian fashion. And clue number three, the fix is in on 21. So those are our three clues for this month's Poet of the Month. The fix is in on 21.
Yep. There you go. That'll solidify it.
Even more helpful, I think.
I think so.
All right. So now we need five more unique callers. The number 720-240-9766.
That number again, 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. And the thing about that recording is that's a real conversation. Yes. Most people don't realize that's my accent. A duck?
A duck?
My favorite joke is a man walks through an apple orchard. He sees a farmer who lifts a pig up. He lifts the pig up to the tree, and the pig grabs an apple in his mouth. Then he brings the pig back over and leans it over a barrel, and the pig drops the apple in the barrel. And the man just keeps doing that with the pig. Finally, the first man goes, wouldn't it just be faster to grab the apples with each hand and just drop them into the barrel? And the farmer who's holding the pig looks at him and goes, time ain't nothing to a pig.
Yep.
It's the basis of my entire life philosophy.
That's incredible.
Explains a lot, doesn't it?
It sure does.
All right. We've got a great caller lined up here. We're going to be heading to Studio X. But before we do that, we've got an awesome submission. And I saw Don just recently in the chat room worrying about having something read. You sent it in. I got it right here in front of me. We got you, Don. We're going to read it here now. This is The Acne of Poetry by Don Astuano Hegelberg. I have caught the acne of poetry. It breaks out in whiteheads between the itch of my thoughts, but only when I scratch the scribble it writes. Then it erupts on the face of my crops, fields in white ink pimple pox in my pink farmed flesh, which bursts when I recite out loud or stand up in the spotlight of righteousness. Ashamed, I hide my poems until they curdle like cheese, without the ability to live through and make use of good suffering. Cream cheese oozes from the argument of my salad, tomato, spinach, jicama, cucumber, and celery. scratch the meal to come, and goad taste forward to end up in the greatest swallow of a flavor ever had. And that was The Acne of Poetry by Don Astuono Hegelberg. Don, it was hard for me to not laugh in the middle of reading that, by the way. I thought that was fantastically done. Way to really lean into the metaphor. Absolutely loved it. Thank you so much for sending that in. It's really meaningful, and we love being able to share your work like that. All right, now we're going to head to our caller for this segment, who is none other than the Mama Oladeji in Cleveland, Ohio.
I forgot what the button to push, my apologies. Oh.
Hello, Mama, are you there?
With bells on.
Woo! All right.
All right.
Hello.
Ring ding a ring, two girls sing. Old time something, come back again. Mama Oladeji in the building. Empress Wolf Mama. Woo, woof, woof. What's up, guys?
Hey, we're happy to be here. How about you? What's up with you?
Let me see. In the house since March. Got out one time, got some sun on my face, a breeze on my skin, and I'm back in. And I hope to get out again.
Yeah, I think you will. I think you will.
It sounds like, I guess you say it sounds like you're going a little stir crazy. Well, it's true.
I think JT is, yeah, for sure.
I know I am.
I'm a little crazy right now, but I did enjoy getting out. And seriously, the sun felt so good. I think it's all a big joke. I don't know what's going on, but it's like I can hear laughing when I'm asleep. So, you know, poor people like me, we have an extra sense. So that's the piece I'm going to do. What's up, poor people? Do I have your permission?
Of course.
Okay. Poor people fly to places unseen, not by jet nor boat nor by train. We, the richest of the rich, are as poor as dirt, yet we are as enriched by the soil that brought us forth. Back to where we bathe in mud rich with minerals. We who are rich in imagination fly first class to places where ancient wisdom resides, to places where dollar amounts do not count, adulterate or befoul us. We who know supreme love give freely of ourselves. We fly without wings to accumulate and balance the universe between the heavenly sphere and the earthly side. We fly first class into black holes and soar the circumference of absolute supreme bright light beyond the secrets of the universe. We then dove deep into the underbottoms of oceans and the seas, realizing that as above, the same be so below. All is one, and those who limit themselves to the now limit themselves forever. Those who are struck holding on to the molded promises of mankind or a kind of a man. While those who are not privileged on earth are the most free to be unlimited in their awareness. And I am alert as to who I am, and no man has the permission nor the cognition to challenge me. I have been so far spared from the extreme torture, though I wear no crown of thorns on earth. We, the children of Supreme Creator, give our praises to the wise council whom has installed in need of multiple dimensions. From out of nowhere, I am the now. I am then. I am before the nothingness and shall be forevermore. Going to and forth, acquiring knowledge and understanding through God's own telepathic transmitting thoughts, experiences of a divine sense. Poor people have no limitations. As I never was, so now I am. As I came, I shall leave. I have no anxiety about returning here again. Still, I have premonitions of free floating into a new adventure in this timeless mass called all things. Be I a gate or a gatekeeper, be I a witness or a watcher, I have nothing but a gladdened heart, as I have no one left to mourn or expect anyone to mourn my leaving. Please don't mourn my leaving, for I have work to do elsewhere. I, the child of the Supreme Creator, who has installed into me multiple dimensions, become filled again with innocence, that joy of innocence, as to become amazed once again, as to become amazed once again, is to be filled with innocent joy, as to become amazed, so that I may return blameless as an infant that has been here before, worrying over nothing, yet knowing all things, secure in my knowledge that a living God will nourish me in the cocoon of my mother's womb and also in my cradle until I am able to walk upright on my own. I shall follow my newest mission without fear nor question. And they will say, she walks proudly among the poor. And she was catered to by those who had a discerning spirit. And the humble called her Empress Wolf Mama, the mother of the Psalms. And as they say in this new age, she be the mother of poetry and peace.
Mama, just a wonderful, wonderful piece and very deeply meaningful. Wow. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. God knows I love you guys. Really, truly, absolutely. Thank you so much.
They love you too. All right. We'll talk to you during the return, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Mama. We love you. And that was Mama Ladeji Khan from Cleveland, Ohio.
What a piece.
Wow.
Delivery is incredible.
Oh, yeah. Well, that too, right? So the piece is incredible. Her delivery is great.
Yeah.
Just hard to beat it, you know? And not that anybody has to. Everybody has their own style here.
That's right.
No one's in competition with the other.
That's right.
Well, sir, should we give it a try?
Sure. You want to take a deep
should
breath
we,
in?
Should we try to... Should we just jump into the Hadrian Collider and just clinch and go?
Yeah, yeah. You ready?
Let's do it. So everybody, we're going to make an attempt to go to Studio X. One, two, three, clinch.
Yeah, we're there.
We're there. All right, can you hear everything okay?
I can hear you.
Beautiful. Oh, actually, one little thing.
Yep.
This should help, okay? All right. Okay, so I got a few songs I'm going to try. Let's just see how this goes. It's been a little while. Hello, everybody. Studio X, we're happy to be back. Here we go.
is a blood red circle in the cold dark ground. And the rain is falling down. The church bells tolling, I can hear the organ song, but the congregation's gone. My city of ruin, my city of ruin. Now the sweet bells of mercy drift through the evening trees. Young men on the corner like scattered bees. Boarded up the windows, the empty streets, while my brother's down on his knees. My city of ruin, my city of ruin. Come on, rise up. Come on, rise up. Come on, rise up. Come on, red circle in the cold dark ground, the rain is falling down, the church door's thrown open, I can hear the organ song, but the congregation's gone. My city of city of ruin. Now with these hands, with these hands, with these hands, with these, I pray for the strength, Lord, with these hands, with these hands, with these hands, with these, I pray for the Lord.
So that was a pretty serious one. I think I'm going to do one back from the old cowboy music days. I don't think I've ever done this one on the show before. Maybe I have. It's been a long, long time. And I used to sing this every night to 1,500, 3,000 people. But one night in particular, I remember singing this. We had about 3,000 people in this indoor big kind of concert hall. Doesn't exist anymore. Burned down in 2012. But I remember it pouring rain outside. And this song has a lot of references to the weather. And there was just a real magic about that night. And that's how I always remember singing this song in Colorado Springs. But this is called The Colorado Trail. See how I do. I haven't done this one in a long time, guys. Thank you.
like a morning star, cheeks like a rose. Laura was a pretty girl, God Almighty knows. Weep all you little rains, wail winds wail. All along, along, along the Colorado Trail. Ride all the lonely night, ride through the day. Keep the herd moving on, moving on its way. Dark is the lonely night, dark is the sky. Wish I'd stayed in Abilene, nice and warm and dry. Ooh, 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 ooh.
That's our first Studio X back since mid-March, or March in general. We haven't done one since February. So thank you, everyone, for listening to that. It's time now for us to head into our return engagement. The number is 720-240-9766. Anybody who wants to call in and share one, you can do so.
That number again, 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and here we are. We are back in the return engagement segment. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us this evening. It's been a great evening so far. We've got another great segment ahead of us here. And before we get into it, I want to read another submission we had come in.
Wonderful.
Okay?
Yeah, wonderful.
All right. Here we go. This one is from the name, obviously a pen name, named Anonymous Lover. I can't imagine someone naming their child that, so I'm assuming it's a pen name. All right, and this is asked, please read this aloud during our current stream. This is called 1001 Nights. She said be, and it was. Love and be loved. I said, love is ridiculous. But that's ridiculous because revolution without love is lifeless, hopeless, and blasphemous. How our oppressors demand deliverance by becoming enforcers of the oppressors before them, and before them, and before them. Why not be liberators of our chains, the restorers of hope? For revolution revolves around passion and rewriting reality to reclaim our freedom. So, she said, love me. And I did. I said, I will live and I will love till we shine with the light of 1,000 suns, brighter than the dark that kept us apart. And we emanate peace like the calm of 1,001 nights. And that was 1,001 Nights, written by Anonymous Lover. Thank you. Beautifully done. There's a sensuality to that that I really, really enjoyed. All right. So here we are. We're in here for the return. And now we're going to be heading first and foremost to our person in the first spot in the segment. Wow, I'm just tangling my words right there, didn't I?
Tongue-tied.
Let's go now to yeah, right. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Dennis, welcome back.
Yes, I'm glad to be back.
We're happy you are as well, and it feels good to have you back in the spot you normally occupy. I swear, you figured out how to get to the top of the list.
Well, it's like I said before, any spot on World Poetry Open Mic is a good one. It doesn't have to be one. It doesn't have to be five. It doesn't have to be any place in particular because it's all good.
Well, I think that's a great attitude. That's a great attitude. I appreciate it. So since you're leading this thing off, what kind of tone are you going to set, you think? What are you going to share with us?
Well, I'll share something light, and I think people might like this. Barbara talked about judging a haiku contest, and that brought to mind another Japanese form that we sometimes use, and that's the tanka. And this poem, the title is Writer's Block Tanka. Blank paper stares back, defiantly mocking me. I grab my scissors, fold and cut, pattern outline. Now I laugh at paper dolls. Next sheet. Taunts me too, laughing at my feeble ploy to regain control. It gets folded in defeat. Origami. Sweet revenge. The sheets that remain whisper of my sure demise. Fall into the shredder. Inspiration now arrives. Where'd all my darn paper go? End of poem.
Oh, I like that. Thank you, Dennis. That was good.
You know, it's funny that that also feels very much like something that happens with guitar players where you finally grab a guitar and you can't find your pick anywhere. Like, I know I had 50 or 60 of these. I can't figure out where any of them are right now. It's the same sort of deal.
We got to stay creative and find a way to make it work.
It's all we can do. All we can do. That's very, very true.
That's right.
Well, we... I think JT also has seen how much I resonate with that.
I'm glad.
Very, very well done, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And we appreciate you. We know that you guys put in a lot of hard work to make this thing happen. And we really appreciate it. And we don't tell you enough. How much you are appreciated for providing this platform. I just got to repeat it because it's so true. And we really do want to thank you for what you've done to us, for us. And once again, we'll have to find more tangible ways to express that. But with that being said, I'm going to step aside, let the next poet step up to the mic. I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless, Dennis. And that was Dennis leading us off here calling from Michigan, the, as they say, the carpal tunnel of the Mitten State. I don't think anybody else says that but us.
I think it's just you.
I said, well, you're the one who taught me that.
Yeah, it's right in the carpal tunnel portion of it.
I blame you.
You can, and that's fine. I'll accept it.
Right after I railed about not having the blame game.
That's right.
On the exact same show, JT.
It's amazing.
The exact same show.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
We're awesome.
Actually, to be fair, when I say I blame you for something like that, I actually think it's a pretty clever clever thing. And the only reason I say it so much is because I'm usually the one announcing the people calling.
It's true. It's so very true.
Yeah. All right. Let's go now to Zach in Upper State. Upstate? The state, but on top of it. Let's go to Zach. Hey, Zach, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good. You know, that was an awesome Studio X, and thank you for that. And also, JT, thank you for the memories. The playing full bots. I never understood why my best friend loved Handlebars, but you know, it brought me back to memories, and you know, it feels good to remember good times.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Well, and those guys are Denver locals. Also, Zach, and it was kind of cool to have a band that's such an eclectic group, and they really do a lot for trying to educate kids with art and music and writing and poetry. And they, in fact, a lot of the money they made went into charity for that, as opposed to just being money that they kept for themselves. So they're very, very active in that world, and for that, you know, I really applaud them.
That's so cool. The things you learn. The more you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say that. I don't know. I feel like I know a lot sometimes, and I don't know if I'm any better off for it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, someone's got to know it.
Yeah. Fair enough. Anyway, Zach, happy to have you back, my friend. It's been a pretty good show, huh?
Absolutely. And, you know, like I said, this is the first... you know, it's good to have, good to hear from Dennis and Mama and Barb and everyone, and you know, just get some good poetry and hear some music, and now we're gonna get some more poetry. Actually wrote a poem. I wrote a couplet during the break. I did. No matter how hard you try, I won't let you see me cry. That's not the poem I'm going to read, but that was something that I wrote during the break. The poem I'm going to read is called The World of Tomorrow. I don't know what will happen in the world of tomorrow, so today I'll do my best with the time I've borrowed. End of piece.
I enjoy that one a lot. There's a lot to unpack in that one.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know. You know, who knows what's going to happen in the world of tomorrow? But you know, everything is rent, and you know, time is borrowed, and you know, you just got to do this. Got to do your best.
I totally agree. It's all it can be, huh?
Mm-hmm. And you guys always do your best, so it's only right that we do our best.
Well, you guys never disappoint us, for sure. So it's definitely something that makes us want to do well, as also, you know.
Absolutely. Well, you got some more poets lined up, and so I'll let you guys go, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
Sounds great, sir. Have a great one, and we will talk to you next time.
Hope you do, too. Stay safe.
All right, you as well. Thank you. All right, and that was Zach Kahn from upstate New York, number 2 in the return engagement segment. All right. Are you ready, JT?
Ready, sir.
You got your garlic?
Got my garlic.
All right, here we go. And we're going to Pennsylvania to visit with, and you got your lead poisoning kit?
Wooden stakes.
Visit with
T-bone, prime rib cut.
Nice.
But wooden.
Omaha steaks.
Wooden, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like a wooden ribeye?
Yeah.
What am I going to do with the wooden ribeye, JT?
Use it against the vampires. What am I going to do? You get a wooden steak against the vampires, right?
That's not how it works.
But that's what they keep telling me.
Have you ever asked him to spell it for you?
No.
S-T-E-A-K-S.
Oh, man.
Were you hungry when you started listening to How to Defeat Vampires?
Yes.
That's the problem right there.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Don't ever do that on an empty stomach.
I apologize. I apologize. Yeah.
Jim, sorry about that mix up there. How are you, sir?
New toy.
I was going to say, Jay, Jim, it sounded like you're in the forbidden mutant zone. Is that a thing now?
No, I have a lightsaber.
Oh, JT, you should have known that sound.
I did know that sound.
Oh, you did know what it was.
I sure did. It took me a moment. You have one. Yes, it's sitting right over there in the corner.
Which kind do you have?
I have a Darth Vader.
No, I mean, which company?
Master Effects. Like one of the original ones that came out.
Mine?
Yeah.
It's a Kyber Light Night Pack.
Okay. I'll look
at it. Am I the only one on this call without a lightsaber?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Yeah. Customizable, actually.
Sweet.
I can choose whatever color I want. And well, they have a master pack, which you can do even more. You know, basically completely customize it. You have a different pommel, igniter, sleeve. But it comes with 20 colors.
What color did you get?
Oh no, you get them all. You choose.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Because you have two buttons: one to ignite it, and the bottom one. You can choose whatever color you want.
Okay.
Red, green, white, yellow, blue, purple for nice. Mace Windu. You can turn the sound on or off.
Nice.
And it's meant for sparring.
Okay.
I could take a car. I could drive a car over this blade, and it's not going to break. And it's guaranteed for life.
Have you tried that?
I wouldn't try it, but
I think you
I'm sure
try it.
Somebody has.
Oh, I'm sure they have. That's why they make those kinds of claims.
That's how they advertise it.
They just run out and put it underneath your car.
Yeah, it's a space age aluminum grade steel.
Oh, I see.
Aluminum grade steel. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. But yeah, it's meant to be used for full contact.
Okay. I think that's great. I was trying to think about what color. Well, Jim, let me ask you, what color do you feel most drawn to with your lightsaber?
Green.
Mm. Green. Now, JT, yours is just red, right? It's the
it's older and it's
well, I figured
just.
I didn't know if you had variable colors or anything like that.
Not yet. Not yet.
Okay. You know, I keep thinking, I was trying to think about what color lightsaber I would have, and I think the first thing I would do is maybe just do something really offbeat, like beige. puce.
Wow.
Well, that puce, that's kind of a purplish, isn't it?
It kind of is, but it's also like,
yeah,
you know, be like, oh, there's that Jedi with the kumquat colored lightsaber.
Yeah. Well, Windu's was more of a light purple or a mauve or
that's true.
You know,
that's true.
But yeah, that's one of the colors I have that I can choose.
Now see, the thing is yours green like pea green or kiwi green?
Luke's lightsaber green.
Okay, sure. That's more like a pea green, don't you think? Well, in the later movies, it kind of changed vibrancy. Deep thoughts. All right,
now here's
Jim.
One for you. I rewatched Rise of Skywalker, and they had a scene that harkened back to when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
Rey was holding her lightsaber to illuminate the where they were because they had just gone through that quicksand mm-hmm. type of thing. And Poe, he's holding a flashlight like it's a lightsaber.
That's right.
I was like, right, I just noticed that. Like, oh my gosh.
JT and I just watched those three movies because we did a new podcast that we're launching. The very first episode was us talking about episodes 7, 8, and 9 of the Skywalker saga. So we just had to watch those just a few weeks ago. So we know exactly what you're talking about. But let's do this. Let's do this because I know that you and I could go on forever about this.
Yeah, let me do my poem.
Let's do that. I'm going to give you the stage.
Yeah, because that's what we're here for. Okay, so this one, I think I may have read it a few weeks ago. And I did it, I wrote it a month ago today. Kingdom of Crayons. In the kingdom of crayons, it's midnight blue against black, and we all follow suit, going to war with different hues of wax. An orange face, there to place our blames upon, as all the while the devil's on the inside looking in, and he is laughing, laughing, laughing. End of poem.
Very well done, Jim. JT, what did you think?
I still enjoyed that piece. I remember that one. Yeah, I enjoyed that piece very much. Thank you very much, Jim.
Oh. Thank you. Sorry.
No, no, you're okay. No,
it's all right. We're good. And thank you
burping up fish from earlier.
That's a thing you might not want to mention to people.
What?
Okay, it's all over there. It's like, there might be a poem in that. You guys can write one.
Lightsabers and fish breath.
Yes. And Zach is barking at my door.
All right, perfect. That's fantastic. Jim, thank you so much, sir. We appreciate you, and we look forward to hearing from you maybe next week.
2 weeks from now.
That's right.
2 weeks. All right. We will we'll set our calendars then.
All right.
Thanks for having me, sir. Yep. Of course, always. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
And that was Jim calling from the scariest state in the Union, Pennsylvania. Do you realize if I had 65 million followers on Twitter, what I could do with that as far as pushing my own narrative?
Yes.
I'd start getting people to put out the whole, like, the spookiest state in the nation. And it's totally made up.
Yeah.
But eventually, people would start believing it if I had enough pull.
That's true.
No, I don't really care.
Something to work toward?
Yeah, that's not anything that's even worth working for.
Good, okay.
All right, let's now go to back to Michigan. Let's go to George.
Hello,
George. Welcome back.
Hey, I'm still here, and life is still going on. So it's really a fun show tonight. Enjoying this show.
It's fun. It's kind of It feels kind of relaxed, but not too NPR level relaxed, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's some stuff that had to be said, like Barbara's thing, and she did it so well. Anyway, for my second offering tonight, I'm going to read three short haikus, and then I'm going to tell you who wrote them. This is on in an anthology, and it's called Haiku Mix. The first one, these haikus have titles, Restless Sea. Restless sea churns forth, white-capped as a linen glove, waving caution's hand. The next one is called Soiled Lace. You have soiled your lace there among the common weeds, yet stand proud, Queen Anne. And the last is called Moonbeams. Moonbeams radiate when the veiling cloud is past. Playful shadows dance. All three written by Dennis L. White in an anthology called Downriver Reflections from 13 years ago, 2007.
Wow. You know, if you get to talk to this Dennis L. White ever, you should tell him he should call our show because he might have a future.
No, you don't want him. You don't want
really?
Him.
Okay.
He's one of those.
No, he would always be first in line, and he would always bring joy. And he was always bringing joy to the group, and we don't want any of that.
We don't want any of that business. Right.
We don't need that stuff.
Oh. So. Stay out of here with your positivity.
Anyway,
good choices.
So it's fun to read his stuff, and I know he's written a lot of haiku, and I don't know how often he's written them on here, but. I got sort of a kick out of that.
No, we, we definitely did too. Thanks so much for reading it. And, you know, I'm sure, I know that he always loves hearing other people cover things too. And,
he does it for people. Himself. He does so many covers for other people too. And he's so generous about that.
I totally agree. It's a great thing. So,
okay. Well, I'll move off. We got a few more to listen to, and thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. And that was George calling from Michigan here in the return engagement, number four in the spot here. All right. Now we're going to travel to a town where the beer flows like wine, someplace warm, where beautiful women instinctively flock like the salmon of Capistrano. I'm talking about a little place called Connecticut. And we're going to go visit Barbara. Hello, Barbara.
I heard something about beautiful women.
Yes, I said it's a place where beautiful women flock like the salmon of Capistrano.
No?
Hmm? I didn't hear what you asked.
You don't think Connecticut has beautiful women?
No, I said I think they do. That's I think, and not only do I think they have beautiful women, I think other beautiful women flock there.
Other beautiful women. Okay.
Ones that more than even exist in Connecticut already.
I see. So it's just being flocked by other beautiful women.
That's what I've heard.
Even now in the pandemic, people are flocking here.
Well, I'm not really sure if the word flocking is appropriate during a pandemic, but you know, whatever slow trickle equates to flocking now, I'm sure it is happening.
I have no idea what's going on outside of my apartment building unless I'm in a car driving around, and then I just see people on the streets, and I don't really know what's going on. We haven't been out like in a week, so I really don't know. I got out on my balcony
around.
Today,
yeah,
though.
I'm just playing around. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it was nice. It was warm. Yeah. It was nice. I sat in a chair and read a book. It was really nice.
That's good.
So I found this poem in my book, and I'm going to read it. I've read it before. It's pondering what can be fixed, what can't. And it just sort of goes with tonight, so anyway. When I think of what can be fixed, my mind careens from the thoughts as the emotions sear into my brain of what I know can't be fixed and yet stalls from the sheer wall of negatives surrounding it, keeping it from being changed. And forcing me to watch as nothing is done. The esteemed and honorables, many of whom have histories dating long years back to times when they did fix the wrongs in their time, hoping to eliminate the evils now and placing themselves at the edge of the law to obtain their goals, trusting in the force of their actions as they jumped into history in one moment, trying to fix what couldn't be fixed, attempting to break the hold of the ones who keep others hostage with economic powers, hoping this time to find a way to break the iron chains of this. And I think of the remains of a once honorable and cherished man, engulfed by the enormous waters, dissolved and one with the spectacular azure seas, and drifting into the current, one with the ocean, who medicine couldn't fix, though they tried so hard with their super drugs and operations, they couldn't keep him here. No amount of protesting could have saved the life of this man, though they tried so hard with their electricity and hope, willing him to live, and finding it was too late for his body could not be fixed. They had to accept that and call it a loss. For I can't fix the emptiness, and can only fix the broken pieces that this loss has left as my life tries to find its center, and marvel at the courage of those who try to fix the unfixable. Not like losing a life, but moving to save a life not yet lost. End poem.
Yeah, I think you're really writing from your heart, and I think a lot of us are in our own ways now, but it's really kind of palpable, that feeling that you're communicating.
This one was very difficult to write, and I remember when I wrote it, and it's been published in my book, and I hardly ever read it because it's another one that just really gets me, but because it's about protest, I thought I would read it tonight. And, you know, we've gone through a week or 2 weeks of just particular upheaval. And I unfortunately get the Milwaukee TV station for some reason, because I was like, I remember the giraffe that everybody was waiting to give birth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was the last station I kept on was Milwaukee. And so now I get all of Milwaukee's local news. So I got the local news from Milwaukee, what was happening in Milwaukee a couple of nights ago, maybe three, 4 nights ago, with the sporadic rioting and the kids throwing bottles and running around, and the National Guard, that's what really got me. The National Guard standing there and watching it all, just standing there, out of reach, not doing anything, just watching it all. And it's just like the police in there, you know, guards, whatever, with the plastic shields and the, you know, just, it got to me, you know, that whole thing, all that protest, and maybe it was worth it. I hope it was worth it for them. I feel like maybe all the stuff that's come out this week, that people are starting to think a little differently, and it's good. And, you know, I'm hoping that the thinking a little differently doesn't just dissipate, you know, like, oh, it was, you know, it was a one-time thing, right. But, you know, that it moves into laws and people actually get what they need. And, yeah, anyway, I'm going to get off the phone because you probably have another person, and I'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much. Wonderful show. You guys really have put it together, even though you're not in the same studio. You're awesome. And when is your new podcast coming, and what is the name?
Do you want to tell her, JT? Or you want me to? The podcast, I think, is going to be this next week here. The podcast is called Pop Culture Gods, and it's not us calling ourselves Pop Culture Gods. It's about us looking at the kind of moving forces that are shaping pop culture through big movies, through TV, through music, through sports, and kind of discussing the forces that are making, kind of creating the culture we're living in now. And
cool.
Which is why we talked about cool. Star Wars first.
Where will we find it?
You will be, once it comes out, we'll let everyone know, but you'll be able to find it terrific. Anywhere you listen to podcasts. You'll be able to look it up and find it.
Great. Oh, that sounds wonderful. It really sounds like something I'd like to listen to. You guys are always changing stuff, growing and everything. You don't need to find another new thing, because you're each other's new thing.
What?
Thinking a different
We've
way.
We've known each other, you know, a long time, Barbara. I don't know. I mean, JT, no offense, man, but I knew you before the beard.
That is true. You did.
You know, like, you always have new ideas, so you're constantly growing and changing, and, you know, whatever. Anyway, I'm going to get off the phone and let the other person come on and say goodnight.
Good night, Barbara. Okay. Thank you so much.
Good night. Bye.
Bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
I wonder, do you think Barbara knows that we have like three other podcasts already, four other podcasts already before that one?
Probably not. No, I don't know. She might.
No, I mean, I'm just playing around.
I don't know.
Anyway, all right. So let's go to our final caller here in the return engagement. We're going to go back to Cleveland, Ohio, and visit with Mama Oladeji.
Oh, I can hear it.
She got the issue?
She's all got right, the issue.
So just let her know.
Yep. Mama, if you can hear us, we cannot hear you. We just need you to give us a call right back. So go ahead and hang up and give us a call right back.
So, JT, you have any big do you have any big things with any big things planned this over the next week?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. She's back on.
Think so. Here we go. I don't think so.
All right, Mama.
She's back on.
Welcome back.
Think so. Here we go. I don't think so. All right, Mama. She's back on.
Welcome back. All right. I'm back.
All right. Hey, thank you.
Get up, and move around a little bit, because I'm going to do a piece accompanied by some music, and it's called "I Need Your Love Like a Feel" by John Holt. Let's hear it. Real. I need something I can feel. See, I don't need no fake love. Love is a feeling. So is jealousy and envy. But they are not the same. You know when you are loved, but that other thing is just a game. I need a love I can feel. Love me and tell me that it's raining, but that ain't rain I'm smelling. And all those wolf tickets you be selling. See, love makes a uttering, not a muttering. Love brings admiration, not jealousy, and all that stuttering. Yeah. Baby, that's not purity. I need a love that's real, something I can feel. There are certain people that just mimic, but stop mimicking and start to feel, because everybody needs a love that's real.
Now, baby, I'll make you leg and mommy, baby. Like a chill, mama, baby.
Love that's mine, all mine. I don't need no fake love. I need a love that's there all the time. I don't need no fake love, because love is just a feeling. You got to feel. A feeling that's for real. Come on, baby. I don't need no fake love. I need a love that's real. I'm smelling. Love brings on admiration and not jealousy and envy and all that stuttering. I need a love that's real. Don't try to fool me with that fake love, because I don't need it. I need something I can feel. Rub and go down, you scrub and curve up. You do the rubber dub and you wiggle like a dog. Rub it up. Mama Ola Jeji, the all round queen. Chanting, I need a love I can feel. I'm out. Hope you got something out of that. If it was nothing but a little bumping grind, a little exercise. In peace. I need a love I can feel, but Mama Ola Jeji.
Love that, Mama. Love it. That's a classic Mama Ola Deji right there.
Thank you. Just put it on the after dark. That's as close as I could get.
No, that was fun. I really like that. And yeah, perfect way to close out the night. And I think a return to like things that are real also, you know?
Yeah. We need that. That real love, you know. So many fake people, so many fake feelings. People don't even know how to feel anymore, you know. Just let the mimicking go. Feel deep down inside. Let something hit you. Even if you want to cry, whatever, let it be real. Let's get back to our feelings. We're too numb. So anyway, I enjoyed the program. Good night, everybody. Hope you got a little exercise. Got out your chair and did a little moving around. Over.
I'm sure they did, and and you were a big part of that. So thank you so much, really, Mama. We appreciate you.
Thank you. All right, man. Good night until next week.
All right, we'll see you next time. All right, good night. And that was Mama Ola Deji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, rounding out the show. I want to say thank you to everybody who joined us tonight and spent Friday night with us. As always, it means a lot to us. JT, do you have anything to add before I say our goodbyes?
No, just stay safe, everybody.
Yeah, stay safe, stay cool, remember what's important. We're here with you, and you know, you're part of a community even when we're not on the air. We are here for each other and with each other. All right, so I've got a long weekend ahead. I'm singing at a funeral tomorrow morning. Then JT and I are teaching a podcast class over Zoom. Then I have a digital movie date tomorrow night, which is probably the nerdiest thing I've done in a long time. And then Sunday, I'm playing more services, and I got lessons. It's going to be a weekend full of music and, you know, just kind of expression, artistic expression. I hope that everybody here gets to have something similar to that and is able to feel expressive during the next week or so until we see each other again. But from Novia, the studio cat, from Ursa, the studio dog, from Hemingway, the studio dog, from JT, from myself. Thank you, everyone. We love you. We'll see you next time. And until then, keep on writing. Good night.